KXI AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News next, it's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. The Federal Election Commission has received a formal complaint on President Ford's appointment of a political advisor to a job in the White House. I'm Jerry Landay reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Former Senator Fred Harris, a Democratic presidential candidate, has asked the FEC to conduct a full investigation of the appointment of outgoing Commerce Secretary Rogers Morton to a White House job while performing the political role of chief campaign advisor to President Ford. Earlier, the FEC chairman, Thomas Curtis, said he was troubled about the propriety of putting Morton on the public payroll and that it might be illegal to do so. Curtis said Morton's salary of $44,600 should be underwritten by the Ford campaign organization and not by Uncle Sam. So far, no comment from the White House. At the same time, to underscore its openness and accessibility, the commission moved its operation to a Washington storefront Wednesday. Interested or curious citizens can literally walk right in and order up the financial records of any or all presidential candidates. Correspondent Mariah McLaughlin has more.
Up until this time, the commission has maintained its huge files in several different places. It's estimated that this almost brand new agency has accumulated 1 million pages of campaign financial records and will be, right up to election time, filing thousands of pages a week. Movement of the files will make them, according to the chairman of the commission, Thomas Curtis, as accessible to the public as possible. The storefront operation was termed by Vice Chairman Neil Stabler as a symbolic one, taking politics out of the back room. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Washington.
More news after this.
Hello, I'm Dolly Parton. Have you ever watched a weaver at his trade? Shuttles weaving faster and faster on the loom, creating a design where none has been before. And come to think of it, life's pattern is woven in just the same way, born of many different threads, meeting, merging, spinning out the small fabric of our existence. The March of Dimes is trying to create a better fabric of life, free from the tragedy of birth defects, a life which ensures every newborn the right to the most precious heritage of all, good health at birth. Medical service programs, scientific research, public education, all are part of the March of Dimes fight against this number one health problem for our nation's children. But a weaver, any weaver, needs help along the way, and birth defects are forever unless you help. Help weave a tomorrow full of bright promise for our next generation. Please, give to the March of Dimes. Thank you.
The Vatican has issued a long-awaited and frank sexual code for Roman Catholics. The declaration attacks what it calls the unbridled exaltation of sex. It condemns all sexual relations outside marriage. Pope Paul ordered and approved the 6,000-word document. It does not change traditional church dogma, but rejects with candor the arguments of some Catholic theologians for liberalizing sexual ethics. There's one departure. The document said that incurable homosexuals should be treated with understanding and judged with prudence. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger told a news conference on Wednesday that the United States will not allow its Angola dispute with the Soviet Union to stand in the way of further progress on limiting nuclear weapons. Kissinger made it official that he's going to Moscow next Tuesday with a clear promise from the Kremlin that it's ready to introduce some significant new ideas to get the stalled arms limitation negotiations off dead center. Secretary of the Treasury William Simon released $140 million, the third installment of a federal loan to New York City on Wednesday. This despite the warning of an independent accounting firm that New York may not be able to repay the debt. The Treasury had commissioned the report. It warned that New York has still not done enough to economize, is still $100 million short of a balanced 1976 budget. The city is $400 million short of revenue this year, according to the report, and faces possibly damaging lawsuits. More news after this.
I'm Ed Ingalls, CBS Radio Sports, on my way to Miami for Super Bowl X. And why not come along with us? The Dallas Cowboys will be taking on last year's Super Bowl champions, the Pittsburgh Steelers, this Sunday. I'll be there to bring you all the play-by-play action, along with Jim Kelly, who will be handling the color. That's not all, because Wynn Elliott will have 28 special sports broadcasts for you this Saturday and Sunday. Wynn will talk with the players and coaches of past Super Bowl teams, as well as previewing this year's game. He'll also bring you wrap-ups and post-game broadcasts. All you have to do to enjoy our Super Bowl X weekend is keep your dial set right here, because radio coverage will be exclusively from CBS Radio. That's 28 special sports broadcasts by Wynn Elliott this Saturday and Sunday. Then Sunday, it's Super Bowl X, Dallas against Pittsburgh in Miami, and it's all yours on most of the CBS Radio network stations.
The Environmental Protection Agency says in a report on nuclear waste that some plutonium and other radioactive material buried at a licensed site in Fleming County, Kentucky, has spread up to several hundred feet. EPA scientists said the underground radioactive drift does not now pose a hazard, but that the long-range impact of the nuclear contaminants is not known. When they first sanctioned the fills, scientists believed the materials would not spread. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for rain tonight, light rain or drizzle tomorrow and Friday. The highs in the upper 40s and lows near 40. In downtown Seattle, it's 50 degrees. Currently, it's 48 at the airport. The barometer rising, it reads 30.07. Taking a look at sports briefly, the National Basketball Association this evening. Seattle Supersonics defeated Atlanta by a score of 112-110. New York Knicks over Houston, 107-103. Kansas City dumped Boston, 106-101. It was Philadelphia, 100. New Orleans, 95. Washington beat Cleveland by a score of 92-88. Two games in the ABA. Indiana 115, Virginia 99, and Kentucky beat San Antonio 121-115. A reminder, listen to the Super Bowl this weekend live over CBS and KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. CBS Radio Mystery Theater next at 7 past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. It is sport, as Shakespeare said, to have the engineer hoist by his own petard. The spider that becomes enmeshed in its own web. The boomerang that returns to strike its hurler. Yes, these are the delicious ironies of life or death. And these are also the unusual, the striking, the dramatic examples. Much too commonplace are the multitude of little, unseen, unknown traps most of us are constantly setting to ensnare ourselves.
Peter, you have to see reason.
Reason? Reason is all on my side.
Well, you should know. The sheriff and the others, they've decided to bribe you.
I have never in my life let money influence my decision. Go back and tell them it's a waste of time.
But they don't intend to offer you money.
What else could they use for a bribe?
Me.
Our mystery drama, The Elixir of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
In the free spirit department, Buick's midsize 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of practicality that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century, the spirit will move you.
Free spirit, Buick on the wings of the wind.
Seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. Throughout time, God has spoken to man in dreams. Jehovah said in the Old Testament, "Listen to my words. If a man be a prophet, I make myself known to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." So, pay attention to your own dreams. They might well reveal flashes of the future, predictions and warnings of things to come. They may give you a glimpse of God's guidance to lead you back to the peace and security of His way. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Let's get away from it all. From the rat race, the hurly-burly, the hustle-bustle. How many times have you heard someone say that? How many times have you said it yourself? Well, Peter Nevins has been saying it quite often, as a matter of fact. And everyone who knows him kind of smiles tolerantly. Peter Nevins, a brilliant young physician with a fantastically promising career, Peter is going to cast this all aside for the life of a country doctor.
You actually seriously intend to resign?
That's what it says on the paper.
Yeah, but why?
Because I've had it.
Had what?
The rat race. I'm fed up with it. I want to live.
Live?
I want to breathe clean, pure air. I want to know the woods and the mountains.
Ah, that's nonsense.
Dr. Stern, I respect your ability as a man of medicine,
but... Come off it. You made your choice long ago.
What choice?
You could have chosen something easy, pleasant, but you didn't. You chose medicine.
You mean doctors don't have a right to live?
Ah, why are we indulging in this nonsense? You're a very special doctor, and you know it.
I don't know anything of the kind.
Why are you angry?
I don't like it here.
Here? In the hospital?
The city here. The hopeless, helpless mess that life has become.
But here is where you're needed. This can't be you talking. You know the level I'm talking about. You get something more than a headache or a bellyache, and you have to send that patient into a clinic for sophisticated treatment. What are you going to do out there, anyhow?
Fish. Take pictures. Write poetry.
Ah, why didn't you say so in the first place?
Oh, nobody ever listens to me. I've been saying it all along. Oh, look, doctor, I like the work here, but I just can't stand the life.
The life? I think you should see George Harris.
I don't need a psychiatrist.
Everybody needs a psychiatrist.
But take the word city itself. The Greeks have a word for it, polis. We live in a metropolis, which means the mother city. The word police, it literally means the force of the city, you see?
No.
Politics, the affairs of the city.
What does all this nonsense have to do with medicine?
Everything. Because this is what life here is all about. Here we express our lives in rituals. We live by artificial rules.
Aren't all rules artificial?
People who live close to the soil, to nature, to the elements, find greater and more genuine rewards in life.
Ah, you think so?
Dr. Stern, my mind is made up.
Well, come to dinner tonight. It's probably the last decent meal you'll ever have.
That's exactly what I mean. This chauvinism of yours, this belief that once you leave the city behind you, all you encounter is barbarism.
Where exactly is this place where you intend to vegetate for the rest of your life?
It is high in the mountains. It's 50 miles from anything that could be called a town.
I give you 6 months.
Doctor.
Oh, good morning, Miss Renshaw.
Oh, you can't do that up here, Doctor.
Do what?
Call people by their last name.
Well, I don't know your first name.
It's Carolyn.
Oh, mine's Peter.
Oh, no, we have to call you Doctor.
Why?
Oh, I suppose it's one of the rules.
That's funny. I just had a talk with a man before I left, and I contended that there was less artificiality and fewer rules in the country.
That's not true. We have more rules here than anywhere else.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Oh, you'll find out.
How do you like my sign?
It's very neat. Peter Curtis Nevins, M.D.
You know, that's what I always dreamed of doing. Personally hanging up my shingle.
Oh, I'm sure you must have done that before.
Yeah, I had an office in a building made of glass and granite. My sign was inserted into place for me.
You'll be the first doctor this village has ever had.
You see? Already I own the distinction.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Whatever made you decide to leave a wonderful job in the big city and come here to this godforsaken place?
I'm afraid I don't understand.
But it just doesn't make sense.
What doesn't make any sense?
Well, the tendency is for most folks around here to move out. But you're the first within recent memory to move in.
You mean people actually leave here?
Oh, every chance they get.
Would you leave too?
I can't very well. Not anymore.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't understand.
It's 8 o'clock. I'll be late for classes.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. You're a school teacher.
Doctor, I am the school teacher.
Missed him, Doc.
Yes, well, I didn't want to hit anything anyhow. To me, this is just an excuse for a walk through the woods.
How do you like it up here so far?
Oh, it's fine, just fine.
Sure it's active enough for you?
Sheriff, a man likes to have time for himself just to think and relax.
Ah, you'll get a chance to do plenty of that up here. Mind if I ask you a question?
No, no, not at all. I bet I know what it is.
Do you?
Oh, yes. You probably want to know why I left a very lucrative situation in the city to come out here to the boondocks.
Yeah, I confess, crossed my mind.
Well, maybe I want the simple life.
Well, life ain't simple no place anymore.
I worked under a great physician, but it wasn't really medicine.
I don't really follow that.
You see, Sheriff, one treated people, and one could cure the illness, but not the disease.
Now I'm lost.
The illness, in most cases, is a particular bug. So you kill that with a drug, or you cut away whatever that bug is infected or destroyed. But the disease itself remains because it was created by society.
Well, what disease is this?
Look, what good is it to tell people that a balanced diet is vital if they have neither the education to understand you nor the means to afford it? How can you tell a man he simply must keep off his feet when the only job he can get forces him to stand 8 hours a day?
And that's what bothered you?
It was too much, too complicated. I just felt my life was slipping away.
It'll slip away from you here, too, Doc.
Yes, but not so fast.
By the way, you got yourself a new job. You're the health officer.
Health officer?
Well, we gotta have one. We've been using doctors from over at Selwyn's Corners in Centerville. But now that we got one of our own, might as well throw the business his way.
Oh, what business?
The pay ain't much, but then the job ain't much either. Let's see, gotta inspect Ed's Market and Shorty's Diner. That's all the food places we got, and the bottling plant.
Well, that doesn't sound very arduous.
Well, you just know Ed and Shorty run clean places. As for the plant, you won't find more modern machinery anyplace.
What about the plant, Sheriff?
Well, it's the lifeblood of this little town. That's where the famous Elixir Vita comes from.
Well, I'm ashamed to say I've never heard of it.
Oh, you better get with it, Doc. Not your part of this town. It's your bread and butter, too. It's a gourmet water.
A what?
It's the only way I can describe it. Comes up out of a spring. Some town property. The town owns the bottling plant. And since you're a taxpayer here now, you got a piece of it, too.
Oh, and it's one of these spring waters that's sold for people to drink, huh?
Only if you're rich.
Oh.
I mean, that's an expensive bottle, Doc.
Oh, right.
Mostly, it's not for drinking.
Well, if you don't drink it...
No, it's used for cooking, for mixing drinks.
You're kidding.
Well, between you and me, it's a snob thing. Then you got these great gourmet cooks, and you say to them you can ruin all them expensive items in that recipe with ordinary tap water.
And this bottling plant sustains the economy of the village, huh?
This plant nourishes every one of us, Doc.
Huh. Well, what kind of water is it, Sheriff?
You want the truth? To me, it tastes the same as any other kind.
I'd like to try it.
Now that you got yourself this new job and you're making extra money, you can afford to buy yourself some.
May I propose a toast?
Oh, of course.
To a successful and happy practice in our fair little village.
Well, I'll drink to that.
Why did you order Elixir Vitae?
Well, it cost as much as a cocktail. I had to try it.
And what do you think?
Well, it's rather pleasant. Do you like it?
Well, it doesn't taste like anything at all to me. Tell me, are you glad you came here?
Oh, yes. Yes, I feel completely at home now.
You're not bored?
Bored? Huh. The kind of sunsets you have up here, the lakes, the woods, the air.
Well, that'll last a while.
You happened to mention that people leave here. Why?
Well, after a while, I suppose the sunsets just aren't enough.
You said you would leave, too.
Mm-hmm. I would, if I could.
Well, if that's how you feel...
I should have left 10 years ago.
Why didn't you?
My mother wasn't well. Oh, but that could have been an excuse. I probably didn't have the courage. Now it's too late.
Oh, it's never too late to do what you want. I wanted to be free to be my own man, so I walked out. I came here.
Hmm. You think you can be your own man here?
Absolutely.
I hope so.
What's to stop me?
I don't know. But all places are the same.
Oh, don't say that. You don't know how different this place is.
Different from what?
The big city.
On the surface, Doctor. Only on the surface.
Dr. Stern.
Dr. Stern.
Peter, when are you ending the foolishness and coming back to work?
Never. Doctor, did you get the water sample I sent you?
Yes, Peter. What is it?
Well, I can't tell you right now. Listen, did you isolate a certain substance? Has a kind of alkaline trace.
Yes. And I don't know what it is.
You don't, eh?
No. I've called in Stecker and Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
And they also say it's something brand new to them. It defies analysis.
Yeah, I couldn't break it down myself, which is why I sent it to you.
Of what is this a sample?
Oh, it's just some water.
What are you looking for?
I am not even sure.
Stecker says it looks vaguely like a substance that has found to be lethal when consumed by people who have certain protein allergies.
How's that?
But she's not sure, and it's just a wild guess on her part.
Yeah. But the substance you found in the sample I sent you, you can't identify that at all?
No. Nobody can remember coming across it before. Listen, Peter, come back.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Stern.
You want to see me, Doc?
Oh, yes. Come in, please, Sheriff.
Okay.
Sheriff, as health officer of this village, I am health officer, am I not?
Oh, yes, Doctor. That was made official last week by the Board of Selectmen.
Yeah. Well, I may be compelled to make an official decision.
You mean you found something out of line?
I may have. The bottling plant, I'm talking about Elixir Vitae.
No. No, you can't be.
Yes, Sheriff. We may have to close it down.
We may have to close it down. A simple statement, and yet it can mean financial ruin and economic doom for an entire town. At this point, all we know is that Dr. Peter Nevins has fled to the country in order to find the simple life. What he and we are about to learn when I return shortly with Act Two is that there is no such thing as a simple life for complicated people.
Sheets and towels aren't the only things offered in January white sales. Now True Value Hardware Stores offer their exclusive True Test white paints at special low prices. Hi, Pat Summerall to suggest just one of those specially priced True Test paints. Easy Care Latex Flat Enamel for just $8.97 a gallon. Use it on walls and woodwork in any room. Stains can't readily penetrate its enamel hard finish, so they wash off without damaging the finish or leaving a shiny mark. Yet Easy Care Latex Flat Enamel has a rich, flat finish. Right now, it's just $8.97 a gallon. And True Value Hardware Stores offer what you need to apply that paint, too. The True Test 5-piece painting set. You got a 9-inch roller with two covers, a wooden extension, and a ribbed metal tray with ladder clips. Just about everything you need for indoor painting jobs for just $2.97. Get this True Test painting set and take advantage of low prices on True Test white paint this Wednesday through Sunday, exclusively at participating True Value Hardware Stores.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. Have you noticed the metric measurements on packaged foods at your supermarket lately? Soon the metric system of measurement will be commonplace all around the country, and you should be ready for it. Look carefully at the metric measurements on the foods you buy. They may seem bewildering at first, but they make a lot more sense than the system of measurement we're currently using. For example, right now, fluid measures are expressed in gallons, quarts, and pints. Dry measures are expressed in bushels, pecks, dry quarts, and pints. And a dry quart is 16% larger in volume than a liquid quart. By using the metric system, however, you only need to know one unit of measurement for liquid volume, the liter. All other fluid measurements are multiples of the liter. And similarly, dry volumes are measured by the gram and multiples of the gram. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
Elixir Vita, the elixir, the essence of life. It is supposed to be a delicious aid to the true gourmet, and it is the economic mainstay of an entire town. Is this happy equilibrium about to be upset? And by a man who has always been extremely reluctant to make waves? It appears to be true.
Close the plant down.
Well, Sheriff.
Well, you can't do that, Doctor.
I understand what the plant means to this community.
Oh, no, you don't. Without that plant, we don't have a town. You can't do that.
Now, look, I didn't say we were going to do it. I said we may have to do it.
Why?
Because I think there's something in that water.
What?
I'm not sure.
And what does it do?
Well, I'm not sure of that either.
Now, let me understand just what you're saying. There may be something in the water, but you don't know what. Is that right?
Right.
And it may be doing something, but you don't know what that is either.
Not yet.
And on the basis of that kind of evidence, you want to close down the plant?
It's not evidence. It's just a suspicion.
That's even worse. You mean you close down the plant on just a suspicion?
Well, I...
Doc, you can't even convict a guy for murder if all you got is just plain suspicion.
Well, this is a pretty strong suspicion.
About what?
About something in that water.
All right. You're the health officer, and you could close us down if you felt it was your duty. But you'd have to say why. And unless you could do that, we could go to a judge.
I know.
On the other hand, if there was something wrong with our Elixir Vita and it harmed folks, we wouldn't want to be responsible. See what I mean?
Oh, yes. I see what you mean. When do the fish bite?
Well, these are mountain country fish, you know. They're supposed to be highly individualistic.
Well, at any rate, it's a beautiful day.
Beautiful lake.
Beautiful girl.
When are you going to toss it all over and go back to the city?
Never.
You sure?
Positive.
The other night, you said this was so different from the city. And I said, only on the surface. You asked how. And I said you'd find out.
And I remember I didn't agree with you at all.
You also said, in the city, you couldn't be your own man. Whereas here...
What brings all this on?
The city may have just caught up with you.
In what way?
In every way.
Name one.
Intrigue.
Intrigue? Up here?
You'd be surprised. Sheriff Blakely took me into his confidence.
Oh.
I'm supposed to use my wiles to worm something out of you.
Well, I can't imagine what that could be.
Oh, yes, you can. I'm supposed to find out just what it is you know, or think you know, about the Elixir Vitae.
Aha. And how far will you go to discover the secret?
Oh, Peter, I don't know. This thing has acquired a life of its own. We'll just have to see how it develops.
I feel like an enemy general in a movie about to be done in by a beautiful spy.
Oh, you see, there is intrigue in this town. And once you dig down deep enough beneath the surface, you may never have left the big city at all.
Peter. Oh, hello, come in. When I heard it was you, I couldn't believe it.
Morning, Dr. Stern.
How did you ever manage to tear yourself away from your busy practice?
That is a low blow.
And unworthy as well. Forgive me.
Has Stecker done the lab work I asked for?
Yes. And you must allow me this one little I told you so.
Oh, what's that?
I told you that if ever you needed anything the least bit sophisticated, you'd have to come running back to civilization.
A tiny correction. I'd have to come running back here because civilization is where I am now.
I figured it out, Peter.
You figured what out?
The whole thing. Do you know the answer to what you're doing? You're afraid.
Oh, what am I afraid of?
Medicine.
I love medicine.
Maybe I should say the human aspect of it.
But medicine is concerned with humanity.
Yes, yes. And it's also practiced by human beings. And some of those human beings had started to scare you.
I don't follow this.
You were a bright young man, Peter, the brightest in your class. You showed the most promise. Well, maybe you feel you haven't lived up to that promise.
I never thought about it one way or another.
A few years have gone by. You see other bright young men coming up. You're afraid of them.
Oh, that's not true.
You're afraid to compete. That's why you create this fantasy about the country, the purity of the simple life.
Well, maybe I just love to fish, the way you love gourmet cooking.
Yes, yes, I'm a gourmet cook. And I'm a master bridge player, but I'm a doctor first.
Oh, we're having this argument again.
Peter, why are you afraid? Afraid of the city?
Look, I came here to say hello, to take you to lunch, and to see if Stecker has got anywhere on my lab work.
We've already said hello, and you can't take me to lunch because I'm preparing it here. And about Stecker and your lab work, why don't you ask her?
I do not know what this is, Peter.
And you can't guess?
You do not come here for guesses. What kind of water is this?
Oh, it's just water from a spring.
Mm. And you wish to know if you can drink this water?
Well, I thought I'd analyze it myself, and when I did, I saw the substance in it that I couldn't identify.
What it is, we do not know. Let us call it X.
Well, for some reason, one that I can't understand myself, I have a feeling that X is harmful. Is that true?
I cannot yet be sure. X reminds me of something. It is not the same thing, but it could be similar.
What's that?
It could be dangerous for people who suffer from a protein deficiency.
Are you sure?
No. But no. I suspect. That is all.
But can you find out?
I can try.
Well, how long will it take?
Peter, you know how long these things may take. 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 years, forever.
Have some more of this wine.
No, thanks, Doctor. I'm really in a hurry to get back.
You see how the roles have been reversed. I, the busy city doctor, am relaxed. You, the calm country doctor, are nervous and impatient.
I'd like you to understand one thing, Doctor. I am happy where I am. For the first time in my life, I know what it is to live through my senses. It's very important to me, Doctor. I wish you would see it that way.
What do you really want me to understand?
Oh, I'm not sure. The part of medicine that frightens me.
You have to tell me what that is.
Well, it has nothing to do with anatomy or physiology or surgery or any of the things we study.
Then what does it have to do with...
I guess you could call it doctoring.
I don't follow you.
Well, if I'm going to say this, I may need some more of that wine after all. Okay. Doctors practice medicine. Why do we say practice? Why don't we say perform? Surely, after all of our training, we're qualified, aren't we?
No. No. We say practice because we hope to learn each time we work with a patient.
Practice. Well, we never really know.
Well, we're only human.
If it were pure science, we'd know, wouldn't we? But we are buffeted about by other factors.
What are you driving at?
The decisions we have to make.
Ah, yes. We are faced with difficult decisions.
And have you ever asked yourself why? It's because we allow other than medical factors to influence our judgment.
You can't practice medicine in a vacuum, Peter. Is that what you're beginning to find out there in the utopia?
Thanks for the lunch, Doc. And the wine.
Ah, Peter, you belong in the city. Don't try to fight it. Whatever it is you've got in your system right now, get rid of it and come back home.
My home is up there.
I hope...
What do you hope?
I hope it doesn't destroy you.
Well, how does it feel to be a hero?
I never thought about it one way or the other. Look, why don't we step outside for a breath of fresh air?
As they say, you're the doctor.
Nice of you folks to give me a party.
Well, everybody wanted to meet the new doctor.
I don't seem to be getting much work. It's a healthy town.
You can't have everything.
Carolyn, why did you stay?
Remember I told you it just worked out that way?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm glad you did.
Why?
Because I think I may have fallen in love with you.
Well, that should make my job easier.
What job?
My Mata Hari thing. You know, most folks here don't know about that conversation you had with the sheriff about the water. Oh, you know, the Elixir Vita.
Mm.
But the few of us who do are scared stiff.
I know. But I...
But what?
As a doctor, I feel I really have no choice.
No choice? Oh, Peter, tell me what you're saying.
My decision simply has to be to close down the plant.
But do you realize that if you close down the plant, you destroy the entire town?
I know. I've taken all the facts into consideration. But the right thing to do is to close the plant.
Quickly, we come to realize that right and wrong are really relative matters. Once we get out into that hard, cold world, how soon we perceive the incredibly complex web of conflicting interests that surround each act we perform. How rapidly we learn that there are two sides to each story. Well, that's life. And that's also the third act, which I shall bring here in just a few moments.
Good music, good friends, good beer. That's what I call enjoyment. But on Thursday night, January 15th, I'm calling it Swing Out Sweetland, a 90-minute super spectacular television special packed with music, studded with stars, sponsored by Budweiser, and hosted by a good friend of mine, the Duke himself.
Ed, you Budweiser people can't say a thing without darn near saying it all. You told them what it is, when it is, and how good it is. I'm going to tell them who it is.
Good idea.
Folks, the list of stars you're going to see Thursday night reads something like this. Bob Hope, Tommy Smothers, Phyllis Diller, Roy Clark, Jack Benny, Lucille Ball, Dean Martin, Bing Crosby, Johnny Cash.
Duke.
Red Skelton.
Duke, we're just about out of time.
And about 15 other big names. What more can I say? Watch them Thursday night.
Now that says it all. Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, World Headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Tomorrow, 576, New York 10016. That's Box 576, New York 10016.
As one of the world's greatest realists once said, you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. And we have here a Dr. Nevins who, figuratively, is going to break some eggs, simply because it's a matter of duty. The problem is, he's talking to one of the eggs right now.
You're going to close down our bottling plant? Why?
Because I suspect something harmful in the elixir.
What?
I don't know yet.
But if you can't be sure, why should you close the plant?
It's possible that there could be danger.
And also possible that there isn't any.
Yes. And so, until we find out...
You'll order the place shut down.
Look, it's entirely possible that these suspicions I have are unfounded. And then the plant can open up again.
The plant can never open up again.
Why not? Once it receives a clean bill of health...
The damage will have been done. People will never have confidence in it again.
Carolyn, I understand.
No, you don't understand. This town will be wiped out. My mother and my father, they're old, and everything they own is tied up in that elixir. Well, there isn't a family in this town that...
The right thing to do...
Right thing to do for whom?
I wish... Oh... I wish I really knew what to do.
Oh, Peter. Are you happy here?
Yes.
Do you want to stay?
Of course.
Well, you won't be able to if you close the plant. That should be obvious.
I know.
Everybody in this town will shun you as if you were a leper.
Because I told the truth. And you?
Me?
Will you also shun me?
Yes, I think so.
I told you I loved you.
Yes, I know.
And the reason I told you... I was very sure. I just knew you felt the same way about me. Do you?
Yes.
And you would still side against me.
Yes. But I don't want to be in love with a fanatic, a zealot.
Is that how you see me?
Oh, that's what you'll be.
Oh, Carolyn.
We've been bottling Elixir Vita for 80 years. There's never been any kind of suspicion about it whatsoever.
But that doesn't mean to say...
Peter, there's such a thing as simple justice. You're innocent till you're proven guilty. Give Elixir a chance.
Put on your shirt, Doctor.
What's the verdict, Doctor?
You need a doctor, you come back to the city. You mean there are no doctors in the nearby town?
All right, all right. Am I all right?
Yes, yes. Bit run down, some protein deficiency.
Oh, I don't get very much sleep.
You mean the country air? It's all a fake?
I have nightmares.
What's bothering you?
I wish I knew.
You leave here, you think you've discovered a Garden of Eden?
It is, in many respects. I found a girl.
A girl you could have found anywhere.
I have found a lovely, peaceful community. Friendly, happy people. And nature. Nature is gone from your life in the city.
A Garden of Eden. But in every Garden of Eden, there has to be a snake. What's yours?
Who says there's a snake?
What else has been keeping you awake nights? Come home, Peter.
You keep asking me to come home, and I keep telling you that I just can't.
Well, you talk as if it's something terrible.
It is. Look, I was born here, in the southeast section. You know what that used to be.
I used to be one of the worst slums in America. That's where I come from.
So do I.
Yes. Doctor, I never told you this before, but my father just disappeared one day. My mother was killed in an accident, and one night there was a fire, and I couldn't get out of that hole they called a room. The ceiling fell down. It would have killed me, except I was under the bed, and for hours I lay there suffocating and choking. How I fought to breathe. It was quite by accident that the firemen found me. Nobody thought I would live.
Ah, but you did.
Yes, and I never forgot it. I can't forget it.
Well, do you want to keep savoring it?
I wanted to make something of myself so I could leave the city, this terrible city, the killer city, and I did. I found a place where I can breathe.
So? What's your problem?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I have done the studies, Peter, and this thing we call X...
You know what it is, Dr. Stacker?
No. But I know what it does.
Yes?
It can be harmful to people who suffer from protein deficiency.
How harmful?
That would depend on the individual.
Uh-huh.
You know that, Peter.
Yes.
It could result in mild discomfort for some, to acute symptoms, and in rare cases, even death.
Then there is a danger in this water.
For the most part, a remote danger. But it cannot be disregarded.
I still don't follow you, Doctor.
For certain people, Sheriff, this water could be dangerous, even lethal.
Well, how come there's never been any complaints?
We have experimental data to prove there may be a danger in the elixir for people who have a protein deficiency.
That's the first I ever heard of it.
I'll just have to close the plant.
Now, Peter, you got to understand...
All right, Sheriff. There is a way out. It's a compromise.
The town will take whatever it can get.
Good. Now, on each label, we'll print the warning. Dangerous for people with
no,
protein.
No. We can't take that.
Why not?
It'll kill us. You put something like that on the label, and who's going to buy it? Now, why can't we wait till we're sure? Now, just take a few days, Peter, and think about it. Think about it.
Peter?
I must have dozed off.
Oh, I don't know. You suggest a ride. I agree. You suggest we park. It's all right with me. And then you just fall asleep. I must really be exciting company.
Oh, no, it's not that. I'm just a little bit out of sorts, I guess.
You know, that must have been a harrowing experience.
What was?
The fire.
Fire?
When you were a boy.
How did you know about that?
You talk in your sleep. I wouldn't make that admission in public. After all, I'm not supposed to find that out till after we're married. You called for help. You couldn't breathe. You were terrified.
Yes.
And you kept saying the word city. The city.
The city.
Is that why you hate the city? Because of that fire?
No, the fire was... That was just the climax of it. My mother, she and my father had come to the city from a farm. They thought they could get rich.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, things turned into a nightmare, and my mother blamed the city for all her troubles. That's why I can't live in the city anymore.
You may have to.
Why?
Because if you close the plant...
I'm not closing the plant. All I propose is
that... Whatever you put on the label will amount to the same thing.
Carolyn, there's proof.
How conclusive. Oh, well, you can look at it in a number of ways.
I have a protein deficiency myself. It's a hangover from my childhood.
So you don't have to use the elixir.
But there are unsuspecting people.
Very well, Peter. Theoretically, you're in the right. Now, let me tell you what happened last night. My mom and dad, the sheriff, the selectman, they held a kind of private meeting about you.
About me?
Mm-hmm. What to do about you? Well, they didn't say it in so many words, but it was decided to offer you a bribe.
Money?
not as blatant as that. Since you're an important member of the community now, you should own a larger share of the bottling plant.
If anybody tries...
They won't. They soon saw it was foolish.
Well, one thing I can tell you, I can't be bribed.
But you are, Peter. You are being bribed.
How?
By this life. This kind of existence you've always longed for. The kind of town you always pictured. Even by me. For some reason, I'm the kind of girl you always wanted. If you insist on destroying the elixir, you lose all of us. That's the bribe, Peter.
Yes, yes, that's the bribe.
And you have to decide whether or not you'll take it.
Would you come back to the city with me, Carolyn?
Could you go back to the city, Peter?
I think more time is needed to form a definite conclusion. After all, there's no proof it ever killed anybody.
Oh, Peter, darling. Hello. You're early. Dinner isn't quite ready.
That divine aroma. Carolyn, I didn't know you could cook like this.
Hello, Peter.
Ah, Dr. Stern.
I can't. Dr. Stern decided to come up early for the wedding, and he insisted on preparing dinner. Oh, he's a genius.
I always really wanted to be a chef. Ah, Peter, you're not looking well. Well, I'll stay a couple of days and see that you eat properly.
When I've ever enjoyed such a splendid dinner. We'll have to invite the doctor often, Peter.
And when I can't come, I'll give you some of my recipes.
Will you gentlemen excuse me? I'll bring in the coffee.
So, are you happy?
I'll settle. Dr. Stern, have you ever been bribed?
I've never accepted money that...
No. I don't mean by money.
Well, yes. By the prospect of position, reputation.
I see.
All of us, whoever we are, whatever we are, can be bribed by something.
I know.
What all this means is that you have already taken a bribe. Isn't that so?
That's right.
What?
A way of life.
Was it worth it?
Oh, yes.
What did you have to give up?
Just a little bit of integrity.
Then it wasn't worth it.
Oh, it was a tiny, insignificant bit, Doctor.
The trouble with integrity is that it doesn't come in bits and pieces. It's either all or nothing.
I had to do it, Doctor. I couldn't give all this up.
Well...
Well, what?
We're doing what we command our patients never to do after a meal. Get excited.
You know, Dr. Stern, tonight's dinner was the most delicious meal you ever cooked.
You know something? I agree with you. Carolyn helped me with something I never heard of. It's marvelous you could actually taste the difference in the soup.
The soup? Ah, the soup was never better.
It's something you people bottle up here.
What are you talking about?
It's that water, what do you call it, the elixir vita.
Doctor, you mean you prepared the dinner with elixir vita?
I always considered myself a gourmet, and here I'd never even heard of it. With ordinary water, it just doesn't make sense.
Carolyn! Carolyn!
Peter, is something the matter?
What is it, darling?
All the time I've been having dinner here at your house... Have you been cooking with elixir vita?
Well, of course.
You mean I've been ingesting that stuff?
Ingesting? Well, that's kind of a strange word to use with elixir vita.
Now just tell me the truth.
Every meal you've had since you've come to this village, wherever you've eaten it, contains elixir vita.
What?
Well, we all use it. That's why the food tastes so good.
No wonder I'm starting to feel like this.
Peter... Peter, are you all right? Dr. Stern?
No. He looks a little bit tired, run down, but I think he's all right.
No, doctor. If you examined me, you'd see that I am on my way to severe illness.
Maybe death.
What are you saying?
But I'm fortunate. I can save myself. I know. But the others, how many others will suffer and never know why? Until one day.
Peter.
One day.
Peter.
I'm sorry, Carolyn. I am very sorry, but as the health officer and as a doctor, I really have no choice. And if that means the sky will fall, well, let it.
And when you look at a bottle of Elixir Vita, you might notice a warning sentence on the label. Should not be consumed by persons with protein deficiency. And you know something? The sky didn't fall. Things went on as usual. Peter married Carolyn, and everybody's happy. This story was designed especially for those of you who complain we don't have enough happy endings. I'll have other happy tidings in just a few moments.
Share a ride with a friend. Share a smile when you're round the bend. Let somebody brighten up your day.
Share a ride with a friend. Drive together and the time you spend will speed along as you go your way.
Double up every morning. Double up going home at night. Double up every day. It's a better way. You're gonna have more fun together.
Talking about the latest style.
Last night, a guy made a play that was out of sight. It's nice to talk to someone going home.
Double up every morning. Double up going home at night. Double up every day. It's a better way. You're gonna have more fun together.
Driving alone.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
It's all relative, the physical and even the mental. Something that can nourish me might destroy you. We're all so different, so contrary, so inexplicable, and so unpredictable. And this is certainly cause for joy and great celebration. For it is these human and not-so-human foibles that give us the material to enchant you here 7 times each week. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Evie Juster, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
The Chamber of Commerce dinner was long and tedious. I was sent home early with the lieutenant governor's wife. But not before Lewis had informed me that John, contrary to his normal habits, had been drinking quite a bit. But he assured me that it would be all right and that he would make sure he got safely home. I was sitting at my dressing table, taking off my makeup, when suddenly, impossibly, Lewis was beside me, visibly shaken and frantic.
Deborah.
How the devil did you get in here?
That doesn't matter for the moment. I'm here to tell you to lock your door when I leave. And whatever you do, don't let John come in. And remember the pistol I gave you.
What are you talking about?
He's found out about you and Nicholas.
How?
Never mind how. When I left him, he was loading his hunting rifle. For heaven's sake, when I leave, lock your door.
Are you suggesting that I should be afraid of John, the most...
Debbie, he is not himself. He's out of his mind. Good Lord, here he comes.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for rain tonight, light rain or drizzle tomorrow and Friday. The highs in the upper 40s and lows near 40. Currently in downtown Seattle, it's 50 degrees, 48 at the airport. The barometer rising at 30.07.
It's the sound of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford has come under criticism on two fronts, both with strong political overtones. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president's labor secretary, John Dunlop, resigned on Wednesday, protesting Mr. Ford's change of position on the construction site picketing bill. The president had said he would sign the bill, then changed his mind and vetoed it. The AFL-CIO charged Mr. Ford double-crossed Dunlop and labor. The president is also in the midst of controversy over a new appointment. He named former Commerce Secretary Rogers Morton to a post which includes political advice to the White House. The chairman of the Federal Election Commission says that is apparently in violation of the law because Morton will be paid out of the public treasury. More news in a moment.
Now, from Business Week, here is Peter Roberts with your summary of this week's top business stories. On the international scene, the supersonic Concorde jetliner is swirling up a cloud of controversy. Its financial life or death depends upon North Atlantic traffic rights, and that is subject to a host of arguments, environmental, political, and economic. The question is, who will let the Concorde fly? Rapid transit on the ground is also facing problems, with car builders of the new San Francisco and Washington, D.C. systems increasingly reluctant to take on further projects. In telecommunications, many businesses are asking if their switchboards aren't in fact obsolete. And on the economic scene, there are serious questions about the reliability of using conventional measurements of money supply as an indicator of 1976 business recovery.
If you want complete details on these business stories, you can get the facts in this week's issue of Business Week. It's on newsstands now. Pick up your copy today. Business Week. When it comes to news, it's all business.
Secretary of State Kissinger says the United States and the Soviet Union are holding exploratory talks on Angola. Kissinger also said the Russians have sent about $200 million worth of military equipment in the past 9 months to the Moscow-backed factions in the African nation. Kissinger also said the Russians don't belong in Angola.
Whatever justification, in real or alleged requests for assistance, the Soviet Union may consider to have had in intervening and in actively supporting the totally unwarranted Cuban introduction of an expeditionary force into Angola, the fact remains that there has never been any historic Soviet or Russian interest in that part of the world.
In spite of the Angola situation, Kissinger said he is going ahead with a mission to Moscow later this month to seek a breakthrough in the nuclear arms limitation talks. There was a new development on Wednesday in the Patricia Hearst case. Richard Threlkeld has a report from San Francisco.
Patricia Hearst took the witness stand today for the first time in the four-month legal prelude to her trial on bank robbery charges. The issue is whether one of the 10 psychiatrists who've been examining her over the past months should be allowed to see her again. Her defense attorney, F. Lee Bailey, has charged that the doctor involved, Dr. Harry Kozel of Boston, acted, quote, unprofessionally in an examination of Ms. Hearst for the prosecution's case last week, that he was abusive to Ms. Hearst and caused her to become hysterical. Ms. Hearst was anything but hysterical in 42 minutes of questioning on the witness stand today. She appeared much thinner than in her last appearance, almost emaciated, her face almost drained of color. She's been suffering from the flu, among other physical ailments. Ms. Hearst will be back in court tomorrow as Dr. Kozel explains his side of the questioning, while the court will decide whether to allow the psychiatrist any more examinations of Ms. Hearst. Richard Threlkeld, CBS News, San Francisco.
A bomb exploded Wednesday night in the Iranian consulate in San Francisco. Two people were injured by flying glass. Police said they got a phone call 20 minutes before the blast with the unidentified caller telling people to leave the building. The bomb went off as those in the building were walking out. The Vatican, on orders from Pope Paul, has published a new document it calls Declaration on Certain Questions Concerning Sexual Ethics. It reaffirms the traditional Catholic doctrine that all sexual union outside marriage is condemned. The document also says that during the present times, the corruption of morals has increased, and the Vatican says the present age is characterized by an unbridled exaltation of sex. Now this.
I use it continually for a lot of things. I bake, I fry. In fact, last night I had it over vegetables. It's delicious.
This is Don Morrow talking to Allegra Lorne about
Fleischmann's
margarine. You're a real fan, Allegra. Can you tell me why?
Corn oil. 100% corn oil. Not 99 9/10, but 100%.
Any other reason?
Butterfat is something I'm looking to avoid.
And Fleischmann's is low in saturated fat, as well as being high in polyunsaturates. Is your husband aware of serum cholesterol, Allegra?
I am more than he. I'm very cholesterol-minded.
So you use Fleischmann's as part of a total dietary program to reduce serum cholesterol?
I don't use butter at all. When we started to use margarine was the price. Now I don't care about the price anymore.
But aren't all margarines the same?
No, they're not.
You're so right, Allegra. Next time you shop, bring home the great taste, the high polyunsaturates, the 100% corn oil of Fleischmann's.
I love it.
Spain is taking strong action to curb growing labor unrest. The government of King Juan Carlos on Wednesday drafted striking postal workers into the army. Police were also sent into the streets using clubs and tear gas against striking bank employees. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Ben Franklin, and once again I quote from the wisdom of Poor Richard's Almanac. When I was a child of 7, my relatives filled my pockets with pennies. I went to a toy store and, charmed by the sound of a whistle, gave all my money for one. I came home and went whistling all over the house, but my cousins laughed at me and told me I'd paid 4 times what it was worth. So to this day, when I observe that many miseries of mankind are caused by man's false estimate of the value of things, I say, don't give too much for the whistle. And now, some wisdom from a modern source.
When you need shoes, you go to a shoe store. But where do you go when you need insurance? Now there's a store filled with insurance, the Insurance Store. Here you'll find every kind of insurance, low prices and leading brands like Continental Insurance, the company with the Continental Soldier. Need insurance? Shop and save at the Insurance Store.
CBS 4, Seattle, this is KIXI. Reminder, listen to the Super Bowl live this weekend over CBS and KIXI, both AM and FM, Seattle. 7 minutes past 11.
Here's more of the best music in the West from KIXI.